This is music from Chicoria. Welcome to The Checkout from WBGO. I'm Josh Jackson. After decades and decades of mastering his craft on the piano, Chicoria still finds ways to surprise himself. In a solo setting, he summons his innocence by playing the music of Thelonious Monk, Alexander Scriabin, and his own children's songs. The pianist Helen Sung says she's reached a new creative milestone with her recording Anthem for a New Day. But first, the creative lifeblood of the late Ronald Shannon Jackson is reimagined by pianist Anaji Allen Gums in his recording Blood Life. It's piano players galore on this edition of The Checkout. Thanks for checking in. Music of Ronald Shannon Jackson, fantastic drummer. We lost him in October of 2013, but he left a great legacy of incredible music. I'd like to thank Anaji Allen Gums for joining us on The Checkout. The recording is called Blood Life, and it celebrates the music of Ronald Shannon Jackson. And you brought some of Ronald Shannon Jackson's blood here.
Son. Yes, his son, Taka.
Hello, hello, everybody.
Tell me a little bit about you met Ronald in the early 70s?
Yeah.
It was at a kind of a shaky point in his life.
Well, I can't remember because we both lived in Queens at the time. But at one point, we went to Brooklyn. He was driving rather fast. And he hears mumbling coming from my side of the car. And he said, "What are you doing?" He said, "Well, if you slow down, I'll tell you," because I was chanting that he didn't crash the car, you know. So that's how I introduced him to Buddhism. But we just established a friendship of understanding and respect. What happened is that in the 80s, he came over to the house. He gave me a manuscript book. And he had me open to this one page, and it was a tune called Lullaby for Mothers. And it was just a melody written down. And he wanted to know what I could do with it. Could you do anything with this? So I looked at it, and I played the melody. Then I started hearing harmonies to this melody. And I just went at it. And I played it for a little bit, and then I stopped. And when I turned around, he was crying. Thank you.
Lullaby for Mothers, from the recording Blood Life, pianist Onaje Allen Gums. He joins us here on the checkout. So does the son of Ronald Shannon Jackson, Talkeye Jackson. Talkeye, you've had some time since your father has passed to really think about him. Mm-hmm. And as you begin to sort of decode the kind of man that your father was, mm-hmm. what kind of conclusions have you come to?
That he was an open person. He was open to just all types of sounds and people and listening.
How old were you when you went on the road with him?
14, 15, yeah. Mm-hmm. Now the first time, yeah. Carrying the drums.
Carrying the drums.
Well, I mean, I had to break them down and put them up. I, it's crazy. I always think about that. Those experiences were pretty amazing to me because that drum set was prolific, to say the least. It was light, you know. I just put it all together, and he'd be like, "You gotta do this." Okay, I'll do that. Boom, boom, boom. But I remember he'd have some guys come along, and it'd be like he'd be screaming at them, or like it would just be like, you know, this friction because it was a certain way and a certain vibe he wanted in terms of you putting it together, and in terms of you breaking it down, in terms of like how he wanted to be on it. It wasn't just a put it together, break it down type of thing. It was like it's more complete set, like a Voltron type of thing, instead of like just.
Did you just say Voltron?
Yeah, exactly. Because, I mean, that's where, you know, as a kid, I always thought about the drum set in that way. Because you put it together and it's got to work. It's not just the instrument. It's also a musician. So that's where Voltron, like, you know, it's the guys inside the suits or inside the lions. And then it's like, you know, then it's the lion itself, which is the robot. So they have to come together. And if they don't come together in, like, that soulful, spiritual way, you're kind of lost.
So you thought as you were building this drum kit, essentially, that you were constructing your father in some way?
Yes. Yeah, well, every time. Yeah. And it had to be perfect.
The music of Ronald Shannon Jackson, pianist Onaje Allen Gums. He joins us here on the checkout. Blood life, that's an interesting concept. Tell me a little bit about what blood life means.
Well, I think blood life is, for me, I mean, I didn't really discuss it with Ron. Blood life to me is almost like, you know, he takes the word blood life from the word lifeblood. And the interconnectedness of everyone. And his travels. He connected with everyone he came in contact with. He asked me if I would be a part of a project he was doing. And then his producer, David Breskin, asked if he thought I would want to do a whole album of his music. So they asked me, I said, okay. I don't know. I studied the music I looked at on his manuscript paper, and I kind of dove into it, you know, head first, whatever. I just absorbed it because it's just something that it spoke to me, and I felt I tried to channel what other ideas Ron might have thought about in doing this. And whereas Ron's music a lot of times is very, you know, with the very aggressive fusion, even avant-garde approach, I found incredible lyricism in his melodies and tonal, even metric attitudes from these melodies. And the producer, at some point after we had mixed 9 tunes that we had picked, he shut it down. And for 20 years, the tapes just sat there, okay? And finally, I made arrangements to purchase the tapes. And I got them. And what was really crazy is that around the time I got them, I'd had a stroke, which totally took up my left side. and listening to the music that was, this time that was from 85 to now, we're talking 2010. Some tears came to my eyes because I realized that what I played on this record, I don't know if I have that anymore. So I was also angry because I felt this was pretty good stuff.
But so I can't do it again.
You know, but not only that, that it was kept away from the public for all these years of what I do and what I can do, what I could do. But also a revelation was that we found more music that I didn't even know was on there. And actually a couple of them were my pieces that I did on this session and other takes of music that I did of Ron's music. So after going through everything, what started as like 8 or 9 ended up being 14. 13 days before he passed, I went to the hospital. And we sat there, and it was the first time after all these years we actually sat and talked about the music. People remember Ron's music being very aggressive, very hard.
Exactly.
Okay. So I was concerned about people accepting my interpretation of his music. And in the middle of our conversation, he says, Najee, you took something great and made it magnificent.
Najee Allen Gums with Rise to the Occasion.
Okay, that's one of the pieces that we found that actually was something I had written for the project. And it's kind of a melding of different experiences I have had as a musician as far as different influences from jazz to classical to gospel, and even there's even like kind of a theater. I hate to say his name because he took so much from black musicians, but a Gershwin attitude in the in how I, you know, played it. But again, it was new to me because I didn't even know I did it. Somehow, in between the other takes of working on Ron, I came up with this. So I was very happy to locate it and include it in the program.
Najee Allen Gums. We're going to end this interview with Theme for a Prince, music of Ronald Shannon Jackson. Najee Allen Gums on piano. The recording is called Blood Life. Thank you for joining us on the Checkout.
Thank you.
Talk Eye Jackson.
Thank you. And check out RonaldShannonJackson.com. There's more music flowing.
Prince, a reference to Ronald Shannon Jackson's son, the artist Talk Eye Jackson, performed by Najee Allen Gums. In a minute, pianist Helen Sung writes an anthem for a new day and shares it with WBGO's Gary Walker. This is The Checkout. I'm Josh Jackson.
Anthem for a New Day, and pianist Helen Sung has put together a wonderful recording that opens with that piece right there. It's called Brother Thelonious. Anthem for a New Day. Why is it an anthem for a new day for you?
Well, you know, this is not my first album, but it's the first one on a label of, you know, the stature of Concord Records, which I'm so honored and really excited to join that family. I am proud of my previous albums too, and very thankful to the labels that, you know, believed in me and put them out. But I think this is the first one where I feel the most comfortable with, you know, where I am as an artist, who I am as an artist, and where I'm headed. And not that that process of searching, growing ever stops, but I feel a new confidence. And that tune, the title track, you know, that thought just came to mind, that feeling of a, this is me planting my flag in the musical landscape, and here I am.
As opposed to, well, here's, I'm trying to get there.
Well, yeah, you know, there are a lot of voices, you know, well-meaning, you know, from the jazz masters, from my, you know, internal voices, thinking I need to be this, thinking I need to be that, trying that out more, and this is where I think things are coming together in a really exciting, organic way.
And you have, what a cast here. Seamus Blake on tenor and soprano saxophone. One of my favorite trumpet players is Ingrid Jensen. She's here. Reuben Rogers, you heard him there on the bass. Obed Calver on the drums. Samuel Torres on percussion. John Ellis lends his talents on bass clarinet. And a couple of special guests, too. Regina Carter and Paquito de Rivera. Was it hard? You just picked up the phone and called these folks and said, come on down?
Well, you know, every recording project is such an adventure. And looking back, I always think, how did I pull that off? Because, you know, each of these artists, they're just so fabulous in their own right, so distinctive, and just their glorious giftings and their artistic and musical voice. I was just so fortunate that the stars aligned and they were all available, and that they agreed to come play my music. You know, the reason I chose them is I love the way they interpret my music and what they bring.
On the gorgeous track Hidden, where it's basically Regina and Ingrid that kind of set the pace.
Yeah.
And features you as well on the Fender Rhodes. We'll enjoy it now. This is Hidden. Thank you. song, Anthem for a New Day. Why did you call that piece Hidden?
Good question. Sometimes I feel invisible for different reasons, and then also just the truth that I've encountered that sometimes the most important things in life, you know, what's really important in life, they're hidden in plain sight.
Sure.
Kind of vague.
Your love for jazz, was it something that you kept in hiding from your parents early on? For those of you that don't know, Helen's parents were rather disappointed when she left the world of classical music.
Oh, no, left the field of possibly becoming a doctor.
Oh, that first, that's right. Becoming a doctor and going into the world of music. And then, oh, what have we done wrong? She's leaving the classical music world and going into the world of jazz.
Well, you know, it's an interesting story. I wish I could say I had this burning love for jazz since day one, but you know, especially since I went to HSPVA. I'm from Houston, Texas. That's the performing arts high school there, and you know, some of the great young artists on the scene today are from there. It's kind of funny. It's just how many folks, people like Jace Moran, Robert Glasper, Eric Harland, Kendrick Scott, the list just goes on and on. And I was across the hall and never had any contact with the jazz department for 4 years. You know, I think back and I just don't see how that was possible. But I was this really firmly entrenched classical pianist. And, you know, I was studying with this teacher from the Russian school. She was very, very strict, a really good teacher, but very strict and kind of narrow in what she considered true music. I remember she would say, that's the only music worth listening to. And I would always feel a pang of guilt when, you know, I'd sneak off with my friends and listen to Michael Jackson or Madonna. And it wasn't until I was almost done with my undergraduate degree in classical piano at the University of Texas at Austin, and a friend of mine invited me to go hear Harry Connick Jr. concert. And I wasn't familiar with who he was. You know, I was in the practice room all the time. And so she said, oh, don't worry, he's really cute. You're going to like him. I said, okay. So we went, and he brought his big band to town, to Austin, and they were very entertaining. But in the middle of the concert, he sat down and played some solo piano pieces. And I remember wanting to jump out of my seat because this guy was, he was playing the piano, attacking the piano, playing in a way that I've been taught not to all my life, you know, breaking all these rules that I'd followed so carefully. And the music was so alive, you know, it just grabbed me in a way that no other music had. And so after that, I was like, man, I got to find out more about this, and took a beginning jazz piano class. And then after that, you know, I begged the jazz piano professor for lessons and just listened to whatever I could get my hands on, read whatever I could, you know, it was like a crash course.
Sure. So between the pianist Harry Connick and I think a recording you heard by Tommy Flanagan.
Yes. The jazz piano professor finally relented, started giving me lessons. And one of the recordings that really impacted him was Tommy Flanagan's recording on the Enja label called Confirmation with George Mraz and Elvin Jones, which I did, you know, I had no idea who these cats were back in the day, but now it's like, wow, what an interesting pairing, right? Or just, well, trio pairing. He plays, you know, the title track, Charlie Parker's Confirmation. And I remember, goodness gracious, you can improvise with that level of just logic, just how it all unfolded, and just the touch and the swing, you know, that thing that gets you wanting to move. That's what, you know, really hooked me on jazz.
Did it make sense to you when you heard it for the first time?
Yes. I was like, shoot, I'd have to write it down to be able to solo like that. So I was like, man, I have to learn how to play this music. And that, you know, that started me on the journey that, you know, I'm so grateful to still be on. And, you know, when I got into the Monk Institute of Jazz, that kind of sealed the deal for me.
Thank you.
Anthem for a New Day, performed by pianist Helen Sung. She spoke to WBGO's Gary Walker. Coming up next, what is a melodist, according to Chick Corea? The pianist goes solo. This is The Checkout. I'm Josh Jackson. Korea joins us here in the studio. I enjoy listening to you play the piano like everyone else, and you've been doing it so long that what's still a mystery for you when you approach that instrument?
Everything.
Really?
Yeah, just everything about it. I mean, I guess that's the game, or sort of the attitude that drew me into wanting to play jazz, was the idea that you come up with something, and you're not trying to play the same thing over again. You say, well, what does it feel like right now? What can I find out now? So you have to play this game with yourself of like of what we've ended up calling improvisation. It's a technical term.
Technical term.
Yeah.
Convincing yourself that it's the right path for the moment.
Well, convincing yourself that you don't know what you're going to play. And that you're going to surprise yourself. Like, how can anyone really surprise themselves, right? If you think about it, but you can. You have to do a little bit of work, and then you can say, "Well, I'm going to surprise myself."
Chick Corea joins us. You characterize a solo performance on this recording called Portraits as, you know, welcome to my living room.
Yeah, piano solo is not something I do very often. I enjoy it. It gives me a chance to, I don't know, do whatever I'm going to do. I have to begin by getting a feel for this piano, so I think I'm going to begin by finding something on the piano and seeing how it feels and... I have no plan for this evening, so welcome to my living room. Yeah, well, that's what I said. That's the challenge of making a kind of music that I like to play, which is an intimate music, usually, especially with solo piano. I mean, how bombastic can you get with solo piano? I think the larger the space is and the more people that are there attending the performance, I was thinking it through. I thought, you know, just naturally the performer makes larger gestures, more expressive gestures. Whereas if you're in a smaller environment, in a living room or in the or at the Blue Note or at the or Blues Alley, you can make very subtle gestures.
Do you find that your practice regimen has increased over the years or decreased?
There's no way to track it. no way at all to track it. It goes up, up and down, depends on the need. I like it. I love to practice. I go early to the gig to practice sometimes.
What's the most recent thing you've practiced and learned?
Oh, I don't know. You know, it's like, in a way, reading 10 books at once. You know, a little bit of one, then you put that one down, a little bit of the other. And you just, I just keep groping around. And there's some pieces that I wrote for the piano that are demanding to play technically that I've never tried to play on the piano, but I write them for my band or for a group. So I'm trying to get some of those things together. Don't think I'm quite ready with some of them, but I've been working on it.
Also play on this recording Portraits music from Alexander Scriabin. Mm. I know that you're a fan of Alexander Scriabin. You've played his music before. What's your favorite of his? I mean, do you like the Poem of Ecstasy or do you like the piano stuff?
I like his orchestral music, but, you know, being a pianist and him being a pianist, my interest is really drawn to his piano music, and it's such a wide range from his early preludes that are really melodic, and they're almost like Bill Evans could have written some of them. Scriabin's a melodist, that's what I like about him.
A melodist. It's great to hear you say that because as I was listening to your podcast, something that you said really stuck out. I'm going to basically just paraphrase it, but that you like writing great melodies over vamps.
Hmm. Did I say that?
You did.
I do, but I don't remember saying, but I am. Hmm.
My favorite thing to do is make melodies over a vamp.
Hmm. Yeah. I think what it was is we were talking about the freedom that a vamp is basically a rhythm or a groove pattern that continues, just goes on. It's like a dance pattern. The harmony is not so important. It's just the rhythm of it. The groove is important. And it maybe there's a key center or not, a tonal center. But over something like that, it's very free to create. And that's Miles and Train began to do that with their what they called modal music. It's always a way of music I've been drawn to, that's all. But it's the melodic aspect that really nails it for me.
Melody, Chick Corea, do you remember? What was the earliest melody that you can recall?
Well, what comes to mind is the first tune that my dad taught me when the piano arrived in our third floor apartment with a crane through the middle window, which was pretty impressive sight as a 4-year-old looking at this big monolith come in through the window that my mother had just purchased for $45 was her story. My dad was a musician, so he, as I was tinkling at the piano, he kind of gently showed me how to read music, and he taught me this tune again. Da 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 dee again. Da 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 dee da dee da da again. And that's the first melody I remember. But my dad knew all those standard tunes. He used to go out and play dances and weddings, and he had a 10-piece band that he'd take around Boston.
Maybe you can tell us a little bit about Thelonious Monk. I'm sure that you could probably tell us a lot about Thelonious Monk, because when you were in New York in the 60s, you saw him.
I did. I got to see Monk a lot, fortunately. It was the Thelonious Monk University. Just watching him play up close. There was an engagement when I was working with Mongo Santa Maria in 1961, I believe it was. We did 4 or 5 weeks up at the Apollo Theater. And I was in Mongo's band. Maynard Ferguson had his big band there, and Monk's quartet with Frankie Dunlop, John Orr, and Charles Ross was there. And there was a hole in the curtain right by Monk's piano. And I was backstage behind the curtain, and the piano was right there. He was right there, the piano was right up against the curtain. So I got to watch Monk play for 6 weeks, and it was a total blast.
Music from Chick Corea, from the recording Solo Piano Portraits, Chick Corea playing Thelonious Monk's Panonica. I wonder, what does it mean to live with music, Chick Corea?
Oh, it's glorious. It's a joy. I look at it sometimes and I think I'm very fortunate and somehow lucky or smart or something. To be able to spend my life making music. When I compare it to my other options, it's a beautiful thing. And the fact that I'm able to play and perform and travel around, meet people, and continue to make music, which is such a how do you say it? It's a thing that comes and goes. It's not something you can put in your pocket. You know what I mean? It's an act. It's a creative act, which I love. It gives me a lot of joy. So I feel blessed.
Are you okay that it's ephemeral, if that's the word?
Yeah.
That it evaporates?
Oh, it's got to be that way, yeah. That way you don't collect it and you don't get heavy. It continues to be an act of something you do and create rather than something you collect and have, you know what I mean? It's an ability that I keep trying to improve on. And it's a communication, really. It's my way to touch the world and give something to people around me.
We're going to close with something on this solo recording. It's a solo piano version of a recording in the early 80s you did called Touchstone. That recording featured Paco de Lucia. And I know that by and large, he was probably responsible with turning you onto a fair amount of amazing music.
Yeah, very much so. In the early, in the 72, I think we met, and he sparked me when I heard him play. I wasn't particularly, you know, thinking, wow, that's great flamenco music. I didn't know what it was, but whatever it was he was doing, I really loved it. So we became friends and started playing together right away. And he was like my window into flamenco culture.
Thank you.
Yellow Nimbus, performed by Chick Corea from his recording Portraits from Concord Music Group. The Checkout is a podcast. You can subscribe to all this wonderful music, have it downloaded to your phone, by searching for us in iTunes. While you're there, give us a quick rating. Help spread the music. Our shows are also featured on our website. Check us out at checkoutjazz.org and share us with your friends. And we demand even more of you. Follow us on Twitter at checkoutjazz. Our producer is Simon Rentner. He's on Twitter at Simon Rentner. Special thanks to our web producer Tim Wilkins and production assistant Joyce Kwan. The Checkout is a production of WBGO Newark. I'm Josh Jackson. Thanks for listening.